This week we continue to explore the kerygma. We will address a topic that is not preached very much in the church anymore. Last week, Father Phil got us started by speaking about God's creation, the vastness of the stars and galaxies, and everything that moves according to God's plan. We were created in God's image, and life was breathed into us because of God's love. We exist because God wills us to exist. And as big as the universe is, we here on the third rock from the sun are here for a specific reason. We were created to be good, because everything that God creates is good. Everything. But not everything stays good. Before God created the world, the stars, and the sun, He created the angels. And today our subject is the evil one, the enemy, Satan, the angel that would not serve, the one who was thrown out of heaven, the one who rules this world and seeks to destroy what God has made, you and I. Our opponent is the focus of today's homily entitled, Captured, What the Hell Happened? This is the second part in a series of topics that Father Ricardo presents on the kerygma, and it serves as a background for us to unpack who the evil one is and the things that we need to know about him. But before we proceed much further, let us pray for God's light of truth to shine on us this day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating us in your image, so that we may serve you and our neighbor. Send your light that it may shine in our souls to expose the areas darkened by sin, the areas where the evil one has found a home. We long to be free from the chain of sin that binds us and keeps us from you. We pray that you will unmask the one who fights against us, expose him as the liar he is, and show us the tactics that he uses. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. If we are to overcome the enemy, we must first understand that we are in a battle. The enemy wants to destroy us and win for himself our souls so he may cast them into hell and torture us for all of eternity. The enemy does not want us to realize we are in this battle, a fight. If he does that, then he will win. He counts on our ignorance and laziness to go about leading us away from the one who created us to the depths of hell. But the enemy's playbook we are very much familiar with. The Bible is our game film. Now, a football team prepares all week going over game film and looking for tendencies in their opponent. They look for their weaknesses and try to come up with a game plan to stop the opponent and to make their play successful so they may score points to win the game. The Bible exposes the enemy. He tells us who he is and how he operates. Scripture tells us what happened and what will happen. The enemy runs the same plays over and over again. He uses that same script and follows the same game plan. He doesn't need to change because what he is doing is working very well. Life is hard. We see this in the evils that are about us throughout the history of mankind. Think about the horrors of Auschwitz, the genocide in Rwanda, the evil of abortion that we battle every day in this country. We have seen what nature can do, most recently with the brush fires in Australia, and this past week the tornado that tore through Nashville. Seems like every time we turn on the TV or flick on our phone to read something, we are greeted with another round of death and destruction. But as awful as things seem to be at times, we have the Bible, and we know that if we read it and pause to understand what we read, then we will be in a better position to fight the battle. Ain't he cute? Little fellow with a pitchfork. Unfortunately, our enemy is not a cute little devil with a pitchfork in his hand. There are six things we need to know about the fallen angel, about our enemy. The first is, we need to identify him. The enemy was an angel made by God. He was made to be good, just like you and I. He is a creature, not equal to God. He is not a God. His name was Lucifer, which means light bearer. It is said that he was one of the ones that were closest to the throne of God. Now, angels surround the throne of God, and they sing his praises, yet the enemy was not happy with praising and serving God. He is the ruler of this world, and make no mistake about it, he likes this world because it has so many souls that he can pluck and throw into hell. He is also more powerful than we are on our own. We cannot stand up to the enemy by ourselves. He is too much to handle. He cannot be defeated by ourselves. He knows our weaknesses and he will exploit them. And he is not alone. There are many demons and fallen angels with him. Think back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. There is a demonic man that Jesus sees, and when he notices the man screams out to him, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High?" he asks. The man was naked and could not be restrained by chains because he kept breaking them. And then Jesus asks this very simple question, "What is your name?" The man responds, "Legion," because many devils and demons had entered him. A legion of Roman soldiers was 5,000 to 6,000 men. The demons then left the man and entered a herd of pigs and ran down the hill into the water and were drowned in the lake. The second thing we need to know is the reason for this rebellion. The motive is envy. It is not pride. Wisdom chapter 2 tells us, "But by envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who are in his possession experience it." The definition of envy is the feeling of discontentment, resentment aroused by someone else's possession or qualities. What is the enemy so envious of? He is envious of you and I. He is not envious of God. He is envious of us because we were created to be closest to God, created in his image, created to be above the angels. The angels are to assist us. Just think about your guardian angels. The enemy was called to serve God's creatures, but instead became envious. He resents our place in our relationship with God. Do you know that we are the only creatures that God made that can receive Holy Communion? The angels do not. No wonder he's envious of us. His goal is very simple. He wants to enslave us. He knows the divine plan. He knows Scripture. Last week, he quoted Scripture back to Jesus as he was tempting him. The enemy does not want to serve us. He wants to enslave us, chain us to sin and to degrade us. The third thing that we need to know, what is his name? Or what are his names? Satan, which means the accuser. devil, which means the divider. Satan accuses God, and he divides us from the one who made us and from each other. His names describe what he does. He wants us for himself, not because he loves us, but because he wants us to turn away from God and to be separated, and then to accuse God. The fourth thing we need to know, the root strategy of Satan, to convince us that God is not good and that he does not want us to be happy. He wants us to see God as our opponent, not him. And if he can do this, he's pulled off his brilliant plan. If he can convince us that God does not love us, or that he is not good, or that he could never forgive us, then he has tilted the field in his favor. His path to victory becomes much, much easier. Satan wants us to see God as an adversary, not as a loving father. He will try to tell us that obedience leads to misery, that you don't need to follow the Ten Commandments. They are too restrictive, and they will not bring about happiness. Now think about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve bought into the lie that God is not good. Now keep in mind, they lived in paradise. Everything was perfect. There was no sin. They were in right relationship with God, nature, and each other. Enter the serpent. And he asks a very simple question. And he found someone to engage him. Eve took the bait. And his question was this: did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden? If Adam and Eve can be led astray and they lived in paradise, what do you think Satan can do to us? Do not underestimate the enemy. The opponent in this battle is very cunning, and we need to be alert. He has been at this for centuries, and he has tempted billions of people. The fifth thing we need to know, what are his tactics? He accuses, he lies, he divides, he flatters, he tempts, and he discourages. If you think about in your own lives, the times when you strayed, how did you get there? Did you buy into a lie that Satan placed within your mind? Give in to gossip that divides a family? Or maybe you bought into the idea of maybe not trying for that promotion at work because, well, you're not really that good and you're probably doing the best thing you can do. You don't need to volunteer at church. They have plenty of volunteers. It doesn't matter what you look at the internet. It's your own business. He lies, and he will flatter us, and all these other things. Satan will continue to use the same tactics over and over again. Why? Because they work. And he achieves his goal, which is to win the battle, to win the war. Remember, the purpose of a war is to kill people and break things. And Satan wants to kill the soul, and he wants to break relationships. The last thing that we need to keep in mind is his goal. The goal is very simple: to steal, destroy, and kill. Satan wants to destroy that which he is envious of. He wants to have as many souls as he can gather before our blessed Lord comes and his reign on this earth comes to an end. The enemy enters into us through old wounds if we let him. He is a vicious opponent that will never give up. He never sleeps, and his work is never done, and he has many demons to help him. Over the course of this coming week, I invite you to ponder six questions which are also on the front of our bulletin this week. They are this: where is the enemy accusing me right now? What lie is crippling me right now? Where is the enemy causing division in my life? Where is the enemy flattering me right now? What temptation is strongest in my life right now? And where am I most discouraged right now in my life? We must fight to avoid being captured by the enemy. We are in a battle. The war that seems at times to be so daunting that we somehow can't see how to win it at times. And the truth is, we don't have to fight this war alone. We have God that has never abandoned us, the sacraments that nourish us, and a heavenly home that awaits us. And though we may grow tired and weary, and at times be broken, we will continue to fight and move along the path of salvation. We have an angel who stood up and stands up to the enemy, one who battled him and threw him out of heaven. He continues to fight for us. We have a courage and put our trust that St. Michael will continue to come to our aid. So I invite you to pray. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection in the snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. God bless.